Today on Compassion Radio.
And I got to talk to that Sergeant Rodriguez. At that point, he said he had given his life to Christ. 6 months fast forward, his marriage was doing awesome. His kids loved being around him. He started going to church. So it wasn't just someone saying, I want to come to Christ. It was someone who came to Christ, and then their life was transformed.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram takes you with him to the farthest corners of the globe, where he spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. You know, so many of us are completely unaware of the incredible pressure that our law enforcement officers face on a daily basis. Many of them see more human tragedy in a week than most of us will see in a lifetime. Today on Compassion Radio, Bram talks with Eric and Kim Bauer, the founders of Shield of Hope, a ministry that seeks to be a light to police officers in the communities they serve both here and internationally. You're going to love this very open and honest dialogue with this dynamic husband and wife team. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to join us for part two of that conversation.
What is it like to be fruitful and multiply, have these kids growing up in this household, and also come alive spiritually? Was it something that really surprised you both when you both came alive in Christ, what it did in your family?
I would say absolutely. Eric will say, back when I wasn't running right, that's what he refers to as just not having that relationship with the Lord, I never would have even been with him had I not seen him praying or reading the Bible or say scripture, you know, kind of come and lead here and there. But it was interesting because as soon as Eric did have an aha moment, it was at church one time, as soon as that happened, it was a whole role reversal for us. He really started leading with our kids. It was totally different. Everything changed. And it was hard for me as the wife to say, okay, wait, I got to submit now because he gets it. So
you've been in the driver's seat for quite a while when it comes to spiritual things.
And then it just literally once he got it, everything changed.
Okay, now this is a very general statement, and I believe her because you say life is different now. Give me an example, Eric, of the things that you changed in your choices, your behaviors that she noticed so much.
Well, one thing is the things that I struggled with. The biggest struggle that I had, I was pretty much addicted to pornography. And so that is something that really hurt our marriage. And that was really one of the things that caused her to come to the place where she's like, okay, I'm ready to leave. And the interesting part in there is, you know, we hear this saying all the time that God won't give you what you can't handle. But of course, that's not what it says in Scripture.
It doesn't.
He says that you won't be allowed to be tempted beyond your means. And in that temptation, I'll give you a way out. And it was very interesting because one thing that stuck out in my mind, when I would have those desires or want to go back to that, I knew if I just got on my knees and cried out to the Lord that it would go away. And there were times where I knew that, but I wanted to do it. And so I purposely did not get on my knees and cry out to the Lord. You would do it, and then you'd have that shame and that guilt. It was a dark place. And again, I was living for myself. The Lord had certainly delivered me from that. And I praise him for that. That, I think, is one of the biggest changes because he took that away from me. Those chains that I had, being chained down by that type of addiction. And it doesn't matter whether it's pornography or alcohol or pills. It's all the same thing. It's designed to keep you from being in Christ. And it ruins.
Or from experiencing anything that's really real.
Correct.
I mean, talk about going through grief, learning how to cry together.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just the better for worse. It is part of the better.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to weep with each other is a great gift.
Right.
And it's one of the things that marriage was designed for, to be able to get to that place where you could be together when it hurts. These kind of addictions and the shame that goes with it are going to keep us away from that moment.
Right.
Which is where God wants to bring us because he knows that's where real life happens.
Mm-hmm.
Our marriages come alive when we actually deal together with the things that hurt us the most.
Right.
I see God having brought you together in a tremendous way and his magnetism pulling you to him. And so it started to flourish. And I saw you around church over the years knowing that there was something flowering there that was beautiful. This is a family that loved Jesus. It was obvious. And her Facebook feed is full of interesting reads. And I look at you and I see a guy that there's more going on below the surface than he's saying right now because he's a fairly quiet guy. And then I start finding out that God's been drawing you in ways of using your experience in police work to go out there and reach other people.
Right.
We only have a couple of minutes in this program to get a taste of this, and we're going to come back to this again tomorrow in the next program. But tell me about what God was beginning to stir in your heart in the work you were doing because of this new life that was growing in your family.
It's funny how the Lord works in different ways and how he sets things up to put you in a place to where he's really going to start using you. One of the ways is that Kim started having neurological issues, which caused her to essentially not be able to work. One thing that we had always discussed and talked about was her being able to stay at home with the kids so that they weren't growing up in daycares and things like that. I see that as definitely being the tipping point. Now, of course, you know, no one would ever say, I hope this is how I'm going to be used. I hope that I'm going to have some kind of a medical thing and, you know, God's going to use
really,
that.
Hurt me.
Right.
People don't say that usually, but he did use that to get you home. And of course, the fruit's happening with your kids now.
Right.
Both your girls are beautiful. They're fun. My kids love playing with them too. And now you've got a brand new one, Jacob here. Has the physical issue with neurological problems, has it resolved some, or is it still a struggle you're going through?
It was definitely a struggle with Jacob. It really caused us to just lean on the Lord even more than we already were. And just having faith, almost ignoring doctor's advice and saying, we're just going to give it to the Lord because we are not in control and we don't have the ability to make these neurological issues not come about. And so it is an act of faith. It is, God, I'm giving this to you. You've created everything and I'm nothing in comparison and you can handle it.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again whenever it's convenient just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry and check out all the other great resources at CompassionRadio.com.
Hi, this is Bram Floria. For years now, many of you have partnered with us to help support the rescue of abandoned babies in Johannesburg, South Africa, through Door of Hope. Thousands have already been adopted, fostered, or reclaimed by family members. But sadly, many have not been so fortunate. Door of Hope has not abandoned these precious lives, and neither will we. In addition to the two baby rescue houses already in existence, Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is now constructing Hope Village, which will feature cottages, a large park playground, a school, a church, a farm, and will eventually be self-sustaining. Kids receive spiritual training and education, along with a marketable skill. Your financial gift will help ensure them a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how he would have you to help. Ask him to show you what your very best financial gift should be. When you give, we'll say thanks by sending you the Psalms in Color coloring book at your request. It's perfect for anyone, especially someone who wants to show their love for God through colorful artistic expression. You can contact us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. Or you can go to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, you can reach us at 1-800-868-2478, CompassionRadio.com, or P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you, friends, for your willingness to be a part of what God is doing in the lives of these precious children in South Africa through Door of Hope. God bless you.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Both your girls are beautiful. They're fun. My kids love playing with them, too. And now you've got a brand new one, Jacob here. Has the physical issue with neurological problems, has it resolved some, or is it still a struggle you're going through?
It was definitely a struggle with Jacob. It really caused us to just lean on the Lord even more than we already were. And just having faith, almost ignoring doctor's advice and saying, we're just going to give it to the Lord because we are not in control and we don't have the ability to make these neurological issues not come about. And so it is an act of faith. It is, God, I'm giving this to you. You've created everything and I'm nothing in comparison and you can handle it.
Mm-hmm. I stopped taking anti-seizure medicine because I felt like it was making it worse. Okay. And I will tell you, we had a challenge being pregnant right at the end. We started having issues, that rush of hormones right before you deliver. But we have been doing really well. We haven't had an episode in 2 years. So that's good.
Amen. Yeah. May that continue. Right. And if it doesn't, I know that too, you're learning how to lean into each other and on the right. Lord. I don't wish suffering on anybody. And many times in our program, we deal with issues of suffering or persecution. And trying to tell the story of how God has literally brought joy in the middle of suffering is hard for people who haven't suffered to really grasp. They get it intellectually. That's something going on there that's important. But no one wants to say to somebody else, oh, if you really want to be close to Jesus, you need to get a disease, or you need to go suffer somewhere, right, or lose your job, or whatever else. We don't wish that on anybody.
Right.
But I have had good Christian friends that have learned to say things like, don't tell people to take care, tell them to take risks. And what I've seen in your lives is that you've been willing to let God take risks with you, even while there's the threat of some suffering mm-hmm. that might come about or might interrupt you along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, shows real maturity, that God's matured you as a couple and as a family. You're having to trust Kim that God's going to be using him in this new venture, this mm-hmm. new ministry. And let's touch on that really quickly before we cut off for today's program. The name of the ministry, again, Shield of Hope. And as a police officer, I'm sensing that the imagery here is that you want to put a shield over those who are hurting the most and save them from the flaming darts of the evil one. Describe to me why the choice of those images of shield and hope.
The hope is the type of hope that only Christ can provide, in that you are shielded from not just the enemy, but yourself.
So you lead men through that positive path towards real acceptance and understanding and identity in Jesus. You probably assume that God would be using you to reach other cops near you.
Absolutely.
And some of that's beginning. It didn't just stop there. Some of the first places that God really unleashed you to reach law enforcement was in other countries.
Absolutely.
So tell me about the first time you really knew that this thing had traction, that God was going to use you to reach others.
As I was saying earlier, the Lord using her in a way to cause her to be able to stay at home was in November of 2013. And I had learned that our church was going to be going on a mission trip to Honduras during spring break in March of 2014. When I had heard about it before with our work schedules, that was never a possibility. It was never a possibility for me to go anywhere for a length of time because we had two daughters and they needed to have someone there to take care of them. So when that happened, I just simply prayed, Lord, this is something that I would like to do, but I don't want to do it if it's outside of your will.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this is something that you want me to do, I just prayed that God would provide a way. The cost for that trip was $1,600, and I had just really found out some of the information about just a month or two before. I didn't have an extra $1,600 laying around to go on this, and for that trip, I ended up paying maybe $50 out of my pocket. And so that was confirmation to me that the Lord was saying, yes, Eric, I do want you to go here.
And God was providing for you in that pursuit through others who believed in you enough to say, we want you to go.
Correct.
So you learned what missionaries have experienced over many, many years, that when God's in it, you can't stop it. And he's going to raise up people to support you doing the stuff that he wants done.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you go on this trip. Are you expecting to do something specific?
I had no clue other than I was going to Honduras. I had no idea why. I didn't know why the Lord was bringing me to that specific place at that time. I just went in faith, knowing that obviously the Lord wanted me to be there. So I went. And we spent 6 or 7 days in various places in Honduras, more so up in the mountains, and had an opportunity to minister to children through kids camps and musical and Bible skits, just to teach these young children about the Lord.
And these are opportunities that are happening in villages that really have had no other gospel influence. They weren't in major cities with lots of churches around. This is way out in the middle of nowhere.
Most of the places that we're at, there's no running water, there's no electricity. It is a very unreached place.
So you're going to places that are developing in the high mountains of Honduras, and you expect to be ministering to kids, and you did. You probably fell in love with 1,000 of them because you're that kind of daddy. But it didn't stop with the kids in the kids' camps. What happened?
We were at several different small churches. We had prayed over kids that had illnesses or injuries. Here in the U.S., if you're sick or whatnot, most people could just easily go to the nearest hospital or doctor's office and get treatment. But over there, it's just not how it works.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things that children get over there that there's no medicine, not even something as simple as Tylenol or Advil. Just an opportunity to be able to pray over these kids. I really had a heart for them. I remember one instance, most of the churches there are in someone's home.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have extravagant buildings with air conditioning. One particular church we visited had dirt floors, no windows, one light bulb in the middle to be able to see at night. Definitely a different way of seeing people just truly worship God. They didn't need the things that we have here to be able to do that. In one of those instances, kids were just taking what looked like a dog bowl and using that to scoop water out from this concrete basin. And they told us, do not drink that water. If you drink that water, you're going to get very sick. And so I thought, well, do I deserve to have good, clean drinking water? And they don't, just because I happen to live in the United States and they happen to live in Honduras. And so that was something that really stuck with me. The children, there were no gender-specific clothing. Mm-hmm. It was, if it was a shirt and it semi-fit, then you wore it. If it was a pair of shoes and they semi-fit, then you wore it. That was how it was. The Lord was just kind of pulling on my heart with them. How could we get them clothing or shoes or those sorts of things?
Eric comes back from this incredible trip. His heart's been stirred, realizing that he's got to do something about these kids. What did you think when they came home?
There was a real excitement. I knew that God was up to something. I didn't know what. And Eric had a real hunger to go back. That's just what he wanted to do. And he didn't want, after being through that experience and getting a taste of missions, to not come back and be used by the Lord. There was no excuse.
So you become mission focused and looking for needs around you. When you see them, you say, I'm the guy, God use me. So what happened next?
So I came home. A lot of amazing things happened on that trip, kind of thinking about it as we're talking, how it was so evident that God was there. You know, it's not that God's not here as well, but I just saw it in a different way, in a very powerful way. That following June, in June of 2014, several of our pastors were going back to Honduras to do a pastor's training for the pastors down there that they're involved in a ministry with. And so I knew that the Lord was calling me there. I didn't know, how was this going to happen logistically, realistically, practically? How is this going to work? I asked the pastor, I said, hey, I don't want to be a third wheel, and I'm not a pastor, so I'm not going there for that. But I really want to go and see how this could work. The first time I went, I met an awesome man by the name of Israel. And Israel's got an amazing testimony. He used to be in the U.S. and he used to run drugs for the cartels. And it finally caught up with him, and he spent about 9 years in a federal prison in Pennsylvania. And the only thing he had while he was there in solitary was a Bible. And that's where he found the Lord. So when he got out, he was sent back to Honduras and he started evangelizing.
As I recall, he was also basically extradited back to Honduras and said, don't ever come back.
Correct. Yeah. He started evangelizing. He got married, started having kids and things like that. It was interesting getting to talk to him, because here you have this guy who would normally otherwise hate law enforcement.
Yeah.
Then you have this officer who's there. And I remember when he would introduce me to people, he would tell them that I was the one that arrested him.
And so he's a creative liar, too.
Right. So we would laugh about that. When I came back in June, he said, Eric, you need to talk to the police officers here. And I thought, okay. He said, they struggle a lot. He said, there's a lot of corruption here. And of course, I had already told him my testimony. And he had said, I really think you should talk to the police officers. I had no intentions of going there to do that. It never even crossed my mind to be able to speak to them in any form or fashion. And so when he told me about that, I was open to it.
Because you're there.
Right.
And God's working on your heart too, to say, give me opportunities. And he's giving them to you. Now, here's Eric in this country, and I'm sensing you're looking up to this old drug runner, and you see in him something that Jesus is doing that only Jesus can do. And you're admiring that in a lot of ways. And so when this old drug runner who's been thrown out of the country says to you, Eric, you need to share Jesus with other police officers, this to me shows that God is really moving on you to follow his leading, because he's leading in ways that would not be normal or expected. So Israel got you in front of some of these police officers, and what happened?
We had just gotten back to Israel's house down from the mountains, and it was nighttime. It gets dark pretty quick, and I remember it was raining. Israel said, hey, I called one of the lieutenants that I know, and he said that he could send some of his officers over here. So I said, okay. At that point, you know, I just said, Lord, I've got no clue what I'm doing. I have no idea what it is that I'm supposed to tell these officers, but I just prayed that the Spirit would give me the words, that it would be, you know, Christ speaking through me and not me speaking to them.
It's a good thing you're tapping into one of God's promises there, that he promised that he would do that very thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so the other important thing to mention is that I don't speak fluent Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, Israel was translating. These three officers show up. It was a sergeant and a female officer and then another officer. They come into Israel's home. And I remember we were sitting in their kitchen. I'm basically facing them, sitting down on a stool, and they're standing in front of me. And there's three of them in front of me. Israel's next to me. You know, I just start telling them a little bit about my testimony. As I kind of mentioned earlier, the first several years in law enforcement, I got into that place to where I just hated people. Didn't want to be around people. Officers just start kind of hanging around other officers. And then even when they're not at work, they're talking about work. And the whole lifestyle, everything changes. Where you sit at a restaurant, how you interact with people and things like that. So I started talking to these officers, telling my testimony. And what I started to quickly realize is that despite the fact that we didn't speak the same language, our cultures were completely different, and we lived in different countries, they actually go through the exact same types of things that we go through. And that was important because then I realized that if they feel the way that I felt, then that means officers in Germany and Romania and all over the world are in the exact same boat.
And they're seeing the same human struggle and the fruit of sin.
Right.
Which makes us truly united in our nature. We realize that God is so needed everywhere you go.
Right. I'd spoken to them about corruption. You know, in Honduras, that's a very common thing. It's not a big deal. 10 out of 10 officers in Honduras, if they stop someone and the person that they stop offers them money, they're going to take it. Mm-hmm. They justify it by saying, well, you know, I don't make any money and I have a family to feed.
Yeah.
You know, just from a survival standpoint, I can certainly understand where they're coming from. But what I explained to them is that if you put your hope and your faith in Christ, he will provide for you in ways that you could never imagine. And you don't need to take that money.
It's a bold statement from some rich American.
And it's funny that you say that because I didn't find this out till later, but apparently Israel was sweating when he was telling these officers some of the stuff that I was that I was saying, because I was being very bold, you know, and I didn't know them from anyone else. I had no idea if they were a good officer or a bad officer. I'm in their country. I have no rights or protections or anything like that. It was definitely the Lord speaking through me to them. And so I explained, like I was saying, about the corruption and how that affects the community. Over there, the majority of the crime on certain levels is the police officers doing it, breaking into homes, stealing things from people. And so if someone were to break into someone's home in the mountains in Honduras, they're not likely to call the police because the majority of the time it was the police that did it. That's an extreme fracture between the public and law enforcement. And of course, here in America, you know, there's a lot of talk about police distrust and things like that. But when you go to a place like Honduras, you see what that really is.
There's no fetters. Nothing's stopping that from
correct
blossoming into all of its evil fruit. So
correct. They have no idea how to interact with the people there. It was just an amazing opportunity. I spoke with them, I would say, probably for about maybe an hour and a half.
Three local officers that Israel knew from local area.
Correct.
Okay, here's your laboratory. What happened with those three?
So I had asked them, you know, what are your needs? They told me we need flashlights. And I thought to myself, here it is, it's dark and all this stuff, and you're out here doing this crazy job. And you don't even have a flashlight. That was a big shock to me. They didn't have handcuffs. They didn't have anything that we would normally have here in America. I told them, okay, you know, you have to be careful when you go to a lot of places. You don't promise things that you can't keep. I told them I will do my best to try to get them flashlights. And another thing they asked for was boots. And so I said, okay, I'll do my best. The next morning we had left Israel's house, traveled a few hours away, and we had gone to where the pastors were going to be doing their pastor training. I'll never forget, I was sitting down with the other pastors from our church, and Israel came up from behind, and he just kind of touched my shoulders, and he said, Brother Eric, that sergeant that was there last night called me crying and said he wanted to come to Christ. And so that was the pivotal point to where it was just extremely clear why God had brought me to Honduras. There was no doubts. There was no, I'm not really sure if this is what the Lord wants me to do. It was awesome because I would go back again in December, 6 months later, with lights and boots. And I got to talk to that Sergeant Rodriguez. At that point, he said he had given his life to Christ. 6 months fast forward, he had said that his marriage was doing awesome. His kids loved being around him. He stopped drinking. He started going to church. So it wasn't just someone saying, I want to come to Christ. It was someone who came to Christ and then their life was transformed.
Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. If you have a minute, go ahead and take our partner survey. This is a great way for us to learn how to better serve you here at Compassion Radio. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, I'd like to ask you to consider three things. First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? You know, sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the exciting reports Bram brings us from the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? We are 100% listener-supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Now today when you give, we'll send you a copy of the Psalms and Color Coloring Book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color, along with bookmarks and gift tags all centered around the Psalms from the Bible. There are also blank pages for you to color and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms and Color Coloring Book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, adults, and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book. And we'd love to send you a copy of it today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Call us right now at 800-868-2478 or visit CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. When you're there, just click the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We appreciate you. And please be sure to come back again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.